Hello, today is Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. On today's podcast, we are continuing with our series, Staying Ahead of the Demand for Network Cost Savings. In this podcast series, we've been revealing useful strategies to help enterprises achieve continuous network cost improvement and deliver world-class network infrastructure. I'm joined today by my colleagues David Lee, TC2's Technology Director, and Brent Knight, one of TC2's Senior Consultants. And we are going to talk about one of the main transformation topics in network services today, Unified Communications, or UC. Now, UC, it's not a new subject in the enterprise space, but it is still a huge driver in network transformation initiatives. Many enterprises have plans to move from just making phone calls on standalone PBXs to full-on team collaboration using UC. So today, we will share some insights into the next generation of UC solutions and offer some practical advice for developing your UC strategy. Okay, guys, thanks for joining me. And David, let me start with you. You've been tracking the UC marketplace over the years, and you've been leading many global UC procurements. So can you introduce UC to our listeners and provide a quick background on how UC has evolved?
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Yes, Unified Communications, also known as Unified Communications and Collaboration, is a phrase used to describe any communication system, usually a business system, that encompasses a broad range of technologies and applications that have been designed, sold, and supported as a single communications platform or as one entity. Unified Communications generally enables companies and enterprises to use integrated data, video, and voice in one supported product or platform. UC also provides integration through multiple devices. For example, many service features, options, and user accounts are as readily available to you from your smartphone, your laptop, or other wireless device as you were sitting right in the office. So it's anywhere access from any device. And as devices proliferate, it'll be promulgated to that. Regarding where UC has been, the history of it, and where it's heading now, let me tackle that next, Joe. UC solutions originally began more as a customer premise-based solution, you know, unified Cisco call manager version 4, for example, with significant capital outlays and ongoing maintenance, ongoing upgrades of both the hardware and the software, and management costs that are required to deliver the service for an on-premise solution as the platform equipment manufacturer kept requiring upgrades and hardware. However, in recent years, the market has evolved more towards a hosted UC solution where little capital outlay, initial outlay, are required and the ability to scale is very rapid. The shift in the marketplace to hosted UC, by the way, I want to mention that it's also called and commonly referred to as UC as a service or UCaaS, so you can hear that as opposed to hosted UC, has been driven by global enterprises' willingness to embrace UCaaS solutions as the security and reliability of those UCaaS systems have matured over the years. So it was initially small or mid-sized business customers who were willing to take the risk, jump on the UCaaS platforms when they were in the initial versioning of that 6-7 years ago, but then more larger global enterprises have embraced that quite recently and aggressively. So as the providers have seen this shift in the marketplace, their largest customers are embracing UCaaS. They have refocused their research and development dollars to provide even more innovation in this marketplace. This allows the shortening of the innovation cycle for business communications, as well as reducing complexity and costs for the enterprise and user organization. So it's a win-win on both sides. One example top of my head is applications and features can now be implemented and upgraded by the service provider and instantly become available to the enterprise user base so they can have that feature without the issues in the past with an on-premise system. We'll address the pros and cons of hosted versus on-premise later in the podcast.
Okay, thanks for that, David. So Brent, what are some of the UC requirements that need to be developed for an enterprise starts preparing a UC RFP?
Sure, thanks Joe, and thanks David for getting us kicked off here. So there are a lot of UC requirements to consider. For example, not all of the users' needs are the same within an organization. So an understanding of what devices and what features a user will need is essential. Just take, for instance, what applications do they need access to? Are they a mobile user or a stationary at a desk or a cubicle user? Is it an environment that's a harsh factory floor, dirty, loud, so forth, or an air-conditioned office? Will video or desktop sharing traffic be involved? What kind of voice network services will they be connected to? Will it be a SIP-based network or a local PRI connection? Does the client's existing data network, for instance, maybe an MPLS network, have the bandwidth to support these communications? I could go on and on with these, but just touching on these few gives you an idea just how many issues need to be contemplated as you approach properly designing a UC engagement. That said, there are a handful of requirements where I'd like to dive just a little bit deeper. First, the quantity of subscribers is always critical to determine upfront. This will become the baseline of the expectations of any supplier to develop their solution and their pricing, and as is typically the case, the higher the volume of subscribers, the more incentive there is for those suppliers to provide better pricing. Second are personas. So personas represent the various groups of users within a business. Some common examples are an executive, a standard worker, a contact center agent, an administrator. Each one of these groups of users has unique requirements and characteristics and therefore require customized UC solution and a unique phone selection to support each of them. So by identifying these types of end users, you can develop a flexible UC solution that can easily adapt to the unique needs of the different personas. Another added benefit here is additional cost savings that come from properly scoping the UC solution. Very often a business will realize that they don't need desk phones for many of their users. Users can operate fully by using their PC and a client, like a Microsoft Skype for Business, now called Teams, or a Microsoft Office 365.
All right, so David, if you consider these requirements and those persona examples, can you highlight some of the key challenges that enterprises are going to face when they're deciding their path forward? And can you also talk a bit about the pros and cons of a UC as a service or a cloud solution versus a premise-based solution?
Yes, thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. The UC solution that best fits an enterprise really often depends on many variables or factors. For example, the enterprise's business drivers, the current telephony environment and legacy equipment that and its remaining useful life, and the ability to obtain funding for upgrades for a new platform. In our experience, the TechCaliber's experience, most large globally dispersed companies have an environment with a variety of UC and telephony systems. It's very heterogeneous, especially on a global basis, and so they've evolved into that system. In addition, enterprise have a choice today to deliver their UC solution via a premise-based delivery model or a hosted model, i.e. UCaaS, as we discussed before. We already mentioned a handful of benefits of the UCaaS solution just a few minutes ago, the lower capital expenditure to initially deploy the solution, faster deployment and scalability as the core UC solution is already up and running by the provider. There's no hardware or software maintenance and upgrade headaches. There's greater speed to deploy new features and functions as a provider deploys them in their core. So those are the benefits of a UCaaS solution in a little more detail. The trade-off to these UCaaS benefits is the lack of control the customer has, the enterprise has, and customization including integration with third-party applications the way you see fit, customization of the features and capabilities of the core telephony functionality that the enterprise needs to deploy to meet their business requirements. With UCaaS, the enterprise organization is relying on the provider to deploy the needed features, the call control, the user interfaces, and overall security. So they're really dependent upon that provider. They build it, the enterprise will come kind of model in the UCaaS model. On the other hand, premise-based solutions are highly customizable. The enterprise is responsible for the capital outlay, though, to deploy the system and continue to get funding for those upgrades and maintenance, hardware and software upgrades, by the way, and also overall operational support and the staff and the proper skill for the staff to maintain that operational support level. So a premise solution, you say, what's better, a hosted or premise? We often get that question. A premise solution is really best for an organization that needs or prefers to own their technology so that where they have strict security requirements, they have unique or customized applications that they need potentially working with a contact center solution as well or custom integration with third-party applications and require hands-on control of their technology.
All right, so if an enterprise has a UC plan, Brent, can you touch on some of the key steps that an enterprise needs to take to execute that UC plan?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. From the TC2 perspective, we see 7 essential steps to executing a successful UC solution. First, you have to run an effective competitive procurement process, and that would typically include 4 main pillars. So you need to define and set the strategy. You have to define and document the UC scope to run an effective RFP. You must evaluate the bids with a focus on the procurement objectives. And finally, you need to negotiate for the best pricing and service levels and terms and conditions in that contract. Second, you have to minimize the commitments and maximize your flexibility. In the very dynamic business world that we live in today, businesses cannot get bogged down with heavy commitments that do not allow them to adjust as their needs change. They need to keep the contract to no more than 3 years and keep any changes or quantity commitments low to allow for future business changes. Third of all, you need a custom pricing construct that meets your needs. This is similar to the points I made earlier regarding pricing that meets the unique needs of your different end user demands. But don't forget, at the end of the day, you have to have rate review language in this part of your contract, as pricing in this market continues to move lower every month. Fourth, you need to structure the service levels that reflect and meet your business needs and priorities. These will be the teeth of how you will ensure that your UC provider delivers on all of the commitments they've made to you. Fifth, you have to impose tight accountability framework with vendor governance checks and controls. And sixth, plan for success, but continue to mitigate failure. And last, keep up the momentum of successful service transition and steady state.
Okay, thanks, Brent. And thank you, David, as well. You know, I think we've really just scratched the surface on the potential for UC, but I do think this has been a great discussion, and you guys have offered up a lot for our listeners to consider. So thanks for that. And for our next podcast in this Staying Connected series, I'll be joined by my colleagues Ben Fox and Mark Lindsay, who will be talking with me about the continuing evolution of managed network service deals. So please look out for messages from us providing links to the latest podcast, or simply go to our websites and you'll have access. And finally, if you, the listening audience, would like to learn more about best practices for ICT procurements, or if you'd like to discuss other ICT needs with David, Brent, me, or any of our LB3 and TC2 colleagues, please give us a call or drop us an email. And you can also stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.